Let us pray. God, open our hearts and minds so that we will hear your word. For it is in your name that we pray. Amen. Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast but do not see? Why humble ourselves but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down to the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. The word of God for the people of God.
The New Testament reading. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Yet among the mature we do speak wisdom, though it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to perish. But we speak God's wisdom, secret and hidden, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, or if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what human being knows what is truly human except the human spirit that is within? So also no one comprehends what is truly God's except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. And we speak of these things in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual things to those who are spiritual. Those who are unspiritual do not receive the gifts of God's Spirit, for they are foolishness to them, and they are unable to understand them because they are discerned spiritually. Those who are spiritual discern all things, and they themselves subject to no one else's scrutiny. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Word of God for the people of God.
Please stand in body or in spirit for the reading of the gospel. Listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled under the foot. You are the light of the world. A city built on the hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. I don't need this. Okay, so we're back. Right where we left off. And I feel like I need to give you a recap. You know how on those really dramatic television shows, for me, it's This Is Us. I watch that show. And they always have to give you a recap of what has just happened because the story is so dramatic and so intense. And people have died, and people have risen from the dead, and people have had babies, and someone got sick, and someone got a new job, someone lost a job, all in 30 minutes that you need a recap so you can remember where you are in the story. Because it gets a little confusing. So there's been a lot happening in our gospel readings. We've been in the book of Matthew, and so if you remember a few weeks ago in January, we had the baptism of our Lord. Some of you may have come up and touched the water and remembered your baptism, and we remember our baptism on the day that Jesus was baptized, and John the Baptizer was the guy, you know, that kind of strange-looking millennial who was out in the woods baptizing folks, and he baptized Jesus, and when he baptized Jesus, the heavens and earth opened up and they met. And God says, "This is my beloved with whom I'm well pleased. This is my boy who I'm really proud of. He ain't done nothing yet, but he's my boy and I'm proud of him for that." And then right after that, especially Matthew says that Jesus was driven, not that he was led or that he walked willingly into the wilderness, but driven by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, and that's where he's tempted by the devil. That's where the devil tests him, and Jesus passes the test, and right after he gets out of the wilderness, he hears that his friend John the Baptizer has been arrested, and so he goes back to Galilee. And then you remember this part, we talked about it I think last week or 2 weeks ago, where he calls those young boys who are out fishing, looking for a better life. He calls them to be his disciples. And then he goes all over Galilee. And what our scripture says is that everyone he runs into, he's teaching, he's preaching, he's proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God, and every single person he runs into, doesn't matter what they've done or what they haven't done, he heals them of every single ailment that they have. And then he starts to notice, you know, after a lot of this healing, that the crowds keep getting a little bit bigger and bigger. And everywhere he walks, he noticed there are people behind him. And so sometimes you need a little moment away, just a little bit of separation. And so he gets up on a hill, and his disciples, his boys, come with him. And there's a whole crowd of folks that are waiting, listening, hoping. And that's where we, so that's your recap. That's where we come to today. And he had started talking to the disciples. He started teaching them. And he let them in on who they were, that they were blessed. You remember that from last week? Blessed are you. No matter who you are blessed, 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 blessed. That's how you are known. Not known in your deficiencies or in your lacks, but in your giftedness, in your blessing, in your God. And so he continues on, and the crowd is still there. And today I started wondering who might be in that crowd. And I started thinking that maybe there is a few teens playing hooky from school, maybe some folks who are living on the street who are looking just for some entertainment, some folks maybe who were alcoholics and some addicts hoping for healing, some folks who had been divorced, some folks who had been cheated on or who did the cheating, gossipers and liars and thieves and school teachers and factory workers, believers, agnostics, and atheists, maybe some immigrants, some widows, and all kinds of poor folks. Folks looking for answers, looking for a better life for themselves and their children. People with the smallest glint of hope that this guy was something special, with a hope that he would be something that they could believe in, that he would have something to offer them. And isn't that, at least in some way, what we all want? Yesterday, I wasn't going to tell the story, but I guess I'm going to confess to you all. Yesterday, I was on Facebook, and I was procrastinating doing all the house chores that I had said that I was going to do. And I noticed there's this girl that I went to high school with. She's a year younger than me, and she looked amazing. She looked so great. She looked like her skin was glowing. And I just wondered what it was that she was doing. And I also noticed that she happened to be like advertising a lot on her Facebook, this thing called, it's called Thrive or something. I don't know. There are three steps. You take two pills that are like vitamins and maybe someone here is doing it. I don't know. But you take the two pills. There are supposed to be all these vitamins in them. Then you drink a shake with all these vitamins and antioxidants in it. And then you put on this patch for the rest of the day. And it's supposed to give you all this energy. And I am always looking for something to believe in. And so I haven't talked to this girl and probably, you know, like nearly 20 years. And out of the blue, I just Facebook messaged her. And I want to lead with exactly what I want, because I really don't want to get into a conversation about, you know, how she's doing. I just say, hi. I can't believe I'm telling you this. I say, hi, I noticed that you look great. And, like, I didn't say you look a lot better than you did in high school, but I said, I hope she doesn't listen to this. I mean, she just looked really wonderful. And I said, I noticed that you look great. And I also noticed that you were promoting Thrive. Are these two things related? And then about that time, she's answering with a long message. And Matt had gone out for a run. And he comes back in. And I click off of it really quickly. Because I don't want him to know that I'm, like, that he knows that I do these things. I get sucked in. And I don't want him to know that I'm looking at it. And so he starts asking me, like, what was that? What were you doing? And I was like, oh, I don't want to tell you. You're going to make fun of me. And he was like, well, no. Well, just tell me what it is. Why don't you give me a hint? What was it? And he goes, was it food? Because he's used to me looking at all that food. I said, well, no, not really. I said, I just want to believe in something. I just want something to work. And then anyway, finally I told him, and you know, she's probably going to get me hooked up. It's only $150 a month. But so if I start glowing, you know what it is. But you understand that there's this sense that we're all looking for something. Something that will change our lives. Something that will make our lives a little bit better. Something that will give us that glow. And that's what I expected those folks in the crowd while Jesus is speaking up on the hill, that they have that same thing. And if they had Facebook, they would be messaging this girl. And they're looking for Jesus to give them that. And so after the blessing, you know, blessed are you, blessed are you, blessed are you. And by the way, that blessing, that either made some folks step up a little closer. And so, you know, the folks who were in the back row moved all the way up. But it made some folks throw up their hands and walk off. Because, you know, they believed in a blessing for themselves. But this guy sitting right beside them in the pew next to them, they don't know the stuff that he's been doing on Friday nights. And they didn't expect that there was a blessing for someone else. Or even harder, they wouldn't expect that there could ever be a blessing for them. So the crowd is a little smaller, but they've gotten in a lot closer to listen to what Jesus is saying. And Jesus says to this group of screwed up, broken, nearly given up people, "You are the salt of the earth." They were expecting to hear about who Jesus was and how he would save them and heal them and take all the badness in their lives away. For it was Jesus they were looking to. It was Jesus who was their last hope. And instead, he points back to them and says, You are the salt of the earth. Yes, you who feel absolutely alone. You with all of your guilt and your shame. You who have been abused. You who have lost a loved one. You who are at your wit's end. You who feel like everything you touch crumbles and like your world is falling apart. You are the salt of the earth. You make everything better. Your family, your friends, your community is better with you. And you, who screamed at your kid this morning, who was snarky to the cashier last night, who judged another person's behavior and then told your best friend about it, you who have been called good for nothing, who have been called loser, who have been called lame and ugly and stupid and boring and annoying and a waste and things that I can't say in this church, because it doesn't count as long as you don't cuss in church. You who are still following Jesus around, even though it is messing up your whole life as you know it, you are the light of the world. You are salt and light. You are the best things about all of life. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine so that others may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Then Jesus says something really interesting after Jesus is telling these folks who would never think that they are important to anyone or to any organization or to any community, that they are core, that they are key, that they are crucial, that they are the most important element, that they are salt and that they are light, and that they have to let their light shine. Jesus says, "Oh, and by the way, just because I told you who you are, just because I revealed to you who you are, and just because I came, doesn't mean that we're getting rid of the Old Testament. Doesn't mean we're getting rid of the law and the prophets. I didn't come to get rid of them, but to enact them, to fulfill them." And for most of us, we like to focus on the law because even though it can feel a little stodgy, it's clear cut, you know. There's a list. I mean, have you ever read Leviticus? It's all there, line by line by line. But Jesus also doesn't leave out the prophets. And the prophets are often a lot harder to deal with because they're always on their rants, screaming and yelling. And since we have a prophet that was in our Old Testament reading today, I looked back to see what that ranting prophet might say. Maybe that ranting prophet would have some clue with to how we as the light might shine our light into the world. So here's what that guy who's always screaming on the street corner said. And I mixed up a little bit of the NRSV with the message, and I know we've read some, I know that Stephanie already read some of this, but sometimes I just need to hear those words again. So listen up. Here's how we be the light to the entire world so that God is glorified. Shout! Sorry, Dudley, I didn't mean to wake you up. A full-throated shout, hold nothing back. A trumpet blast shout, tell my people what's wrong with their lives. Face my family, Jacob, with their sins. They're busy, 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 busy at their worship. And love studying all about me. To all appearances, they're a nation of right-living people, law-abiding, God-honoring. They ask me, what's the right thing to do? And love having me on their side. But they also complain. Why do we fast and you don't look our way? Why do we humble ourselves and you don't even notice? Well, here's why. The bottom line on your fast days is profit. You drive your employees much too hard. You fast, but at the same time, you bicker and fight. You fast, but you swing a mean fist. The kind of fasting you do won't get your prayers off the ground. Do you think this is the kind of fast day I'm after? A day to show off your humility, to wallow in the ground wearing all black, looking hungry and sad. You call that fasting, a fast day that I, God, would like? Is not this the fast I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin, then your light shall break forth like the dawn and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, here I am. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness. I'm going to say it again. Then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom will be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. You'll be known as those who can fix anything. They must be talking about Mike Williams. Restore that which has been ruined. Rebuild and renovate, even for the most difficult and flattest roofs. Make the community livable again. Did you hear that? So if you want to let your light shine, that ain't going to happen with you being all religious, with you being busy, busy, busy at worship. Did you hear that? That's a warning to us right now. I know we're in the middle of worship, but this is what God says God wants. If you want to fast, this is what a fast day looks like. No moping around, just letting everybody know on Facebook and Instagram and calling folks, you know I'm fasting today. No, I haven't had anything all day. Not even a cracker. Not a peppermint. I'm not even having gum. But a whole day of not blaming anyone, online or in person or behind their back, which I know is hard to do. It still counts if you do it behind their back. A whole day without talking bad about anyone, whether it is true or not, whether they are a celebrity or a politician or a family member or a friend. A whole day of serving people and being with them, food for the hungry, your home opened up for the homeless, your coat for the cold, care for the hurting, and time with your spent with your family. And I love it. So in verses, I don't know if you, I think you have verse numbers in your bulletin this time. So in verses 8 through 12, you have this if then, right? So if you do this, then God will listen. Then God will, if you feed the hungry, if you care for the oppressed, then God will hear your prayers. If you do this, then your light will shine and your gloom will be like the noonday, the time that there is the most light in the day. And God will hear your prayers and answer you, and you will be satisfied and strong, and you'll have energy and joy like you've never known. If you want to know how to let your light shine, that's how you do it. And I don't know if you've ever had the trouble of trying to take Scripture seriously, but on February 27th, isn't that Ash Wednesday? Is it February 27th or February 26th? 26th. February 26th, you'll never believe it, but our entire denomination, so the entire denomination for the Cumberland Presbyterian Church is having, anyone know? I know some people know, is having a day of prayer and fasting. And of course, this scripture had to come before that day. And of course, I have to read it. And of course, I feel compelled to preach to you what the prophets say. Because we can't ignore them just because we got a big star that says that we're a light to the world. And so here's what I'm proposing to you. That on Ash Wednesday, on a denominational day of prayer and fasting, that we might take the scriptures seriously. And so we didn't really, I hadn't really planned on doing a lot that day because I thought I would be very weak, you know, from not eating anything, from fasting. And I thought there would be a little bit of prayer in the morning, maybe something in the noon, around noon, and then, but I mean, nothing big. And then a service where, you know, I put ashes on you around 6 o'clock. But here's what I'm suggesting we do. We need a whole day, right? A day of not blaming anyone, of not talking bad of anyone, of serving people and being with them, of feeding the hungry, of opening our homes to the homeless, of giving a coat to the cold, of caring for the hurting, and spending time with our family. Oh, by the way, there was nothing in that whole litany about coming to church. Not that that's a bad thing. But what I'm suggesting to you is that we start out in this building around 7 a.m. and we have a true day of prayer and fasting, a fast day that the Lord asks of us. And so 7 a.m. to 8 a.m., we will pray together. There is a prayer walk that has this scripture in it, and so we'll do that walk together here in the sanctuary. And then we'll have some conversation, and then around 8:30, we'll head out in different caravans to go serve. And I think in the morning we might be serving at a pantry unless we have food to unload here, but serving in a food pantry downtown. And then at lunch we'll have some time of prayer again. And then in the afternoon we will go and be present with and provide clothes for or prayer for or love for and space for folks who are living on the street down at Carpenter's house with room in the inn. And then about 5 o'clock, it'll be time for us to come back for that service we've been gearing up for all month. And we'll come back and we'll have an Ash Wednesday service. But from 7 to 7, we're going to have a fast that the Lord asks of us. And so if you are interested in that, and I know some folks work, and I know it doesn't fit with everyone's schedule, but any part of that that you can participate in, I want you to take a prayer card, and you can write your name on it, and then you can write the times that you might be able to participate. I'm not as interested in if you eat crackers on Wednesday, on Ash Wednesday. I don't care, and it doesn't seem that God really cares about that either. I mean, we can fast. You can fast if you want to, but I know folks have health issues that don't allow them to fast completely from food. But I do want you to fast from injustice. Let your light shine before others so that they may know your good works and give glory to God. Amen.